To turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and we're going to go ahead and begin there, Acts chapter 2, and I also want to remind you too that anytime during the service, you can give your tithes and offerings. You say, well, what's a tithe? Well, a tithe is 10%. Everybody say 10%. And it's 10% of all your income. And the tithe is holy. And the tithe belongs to the Lord. The tithe opens windows of heaven. Amen? It'll open windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. The tithe is the priest's inheritance. You know that when the Levites were chosen by God, they didn't have an inheritance. They weren't given land, but they were given the tithe as their inheritance. And withholding the tithe brings a curse. To me, that just doesn't sound good. I don't want to be cursed. I don't care what it is. But withholding it brings a curse. The tithe is the test of trust. It shows whether or not you're the steward or God's the steward. And he says, prove me now with, if I will not do what I say I will do. How do you prove God? By doing what he says. He'll always come through. Amen? And tithing protects your land. It'll protect the land from being barren and unfruitful. And the tithe prevents your seed from being devoured. He said, when we tithe, he'll rebuke the devourer. And so don't mess with the tithe because it's not yours. Amen? Anyway, let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 41. Today, I was impressed of the Lord to talk to you about let's have church. Amen? We're in the month of freedom. We're going to let freedom reign. And you know how they had church in the beginning? We're going to look at what they did and some things that took place. And in that, it created an atmosphere where God added to the church daily. All right? If I brought a big mirror into this congregation and I could say, what is the church? And I'd have everybody look in that mirror, what would you see? You would see yourself. Say, I am the church. The church is not the building. The church is the people. It's the Greek word ekklesia, which means the called out ones. You were called out of darkness. And it speaks of the assembly that come together. So we are the church. Amen? Now look at your neighbor and say, you're the church. Point to yourself and say, I'm the church. So when you speak bad of the church, you're speaking bad of yourself. Amen? When you got complaints against the church, you're complaining about yourself. Amen? Nobody wants to shoot themselves in their foot with a gun, right? It's painful. It's never happened to me, but you know. When the church began to assemble, they did certain things. There were things that took place when they got together. And so let's look at verse 41 here in the book of Acts. They gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now let's just take this down for a minute. You know, they started in the upper room with 120. God told them, I want you to go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Wait till you be endued with power from on high. And this 120, they gathered together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. God shook the place. They heard a sound from heaven. There was a rushing mighty wind and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they had a service. It was an outdoor service and Peter preached. You know, Peter, he was the one who denied the Lord three times, but yet he preached on the day of Pentecost. Imagine what the power of the Holy Ghost can do to you. It can change you, amen? It can wipe away your mistakes. It can increase you. So they had 120 people, and all of a sudden in one service they had 3,000. Now let's just take this for example. Let's say we had a service today, and 3,000 people in Palmyra got saved. Amen? Because really, our building can hold 120. They started off with 120, and that 120 became 3,000. Imagine if you had to come here and stand in line for your seat. Amen? So what are you going to do now with these 3,000 people after this great evangelistic crusade? And you notice 120 people were praying, one was preaching, but God gave the increase. Amen? See, you can do your part. You can be part of that 120. Just do your part. Just come together and pray and let God do the work. Amen? God is the one who performs. All our job is to do is to believe, but he'll do the performing. All right? So here they were. Now notice what happened. You have now 3,120 people in church. 3,000 people who were not in this church before have now become part of this fellowship. And they continued steadfastly. Say steadfastly. In the apostles' doctrine. What's that? What's doctrine? That's teaching. How many know that when you get 3,000 people saved, there's a lot of things they don't know about the kingdom? There's a lot of things they don't know about faith or about healing or about prayer or about joy or about peace. There's a lot of things and they need to be taught. Amen? Believers need to be taught in order to grow in the Lord. Say, I'm teachable. Now, how did they pursue teaching? They continued steadfastly. That's, in other words, all of a sudden now, church became a priority, not an option. I've seen a lot of places where the things of the kingdom of God are an option. Oh, I'll get to it when I can. But they should be a priority. Amen? We ought to treat church like our job. What happens when you come late consecutively to your job? Your boss is going to have a talk with you. Amen? Now, don't worry, I'm not going to talk to you if you come late. But if you come late, you're missing out. They continued steadfastly in teaching and fellowship. Say fellowship. That's really what I'm going to talk about today, because I think that we need to improve our fellowship. After all, we are called Victory Christian what? Fellowship. What does fellowship mean? It means two fellows in the same ship. Amen? So just come on in the boat, but just don't rock the boat. Amen? You're welcome to come on my boat, but don't rock the boat. And in breaking of bread, well, we break bread twice every month, right? The second Sunday of every month, we break bread, we have communion. And praying, and in prayers. So what they did in the early, when the church began, was they got together for teaching, they had fellowship, they were breaking bread and in prayers. And notice what happened, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. Man, the world took notice. They said, something is happening in that place. Amen? I want the people of Palmyra and Lebanon County to say, there is something happening on that hill. Amen? Yeah. Let me tell you something. I did not build this building. This building was built before I ever got here, but God has a purpose for this building. He wants it filled full of people. He wants people to experience the goodness of God and the grace of God. He wants them to get healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants people saved out of darkness. Amen? That is the purpose of this building. It is to house people. And God put this in the vision of a man long before I was ever here. And I just now happen to, listen, this September is going to be 7 years since Fiona and I have been here. Amen? And we have taken ownership. Amen? Our goal when we first came here was to do the vision, what God wanted done here. And we're going to do it. Amen? And the devil has tried to get me away, but I'm still here. Ha, 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 devil. Say, ha, ha, ha. You know, sometimes you got to laugh at the devil. Let's just do that again. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 Mr. Devil. Some people say, oh, don't laugh at the devil. Why? He's defeated. He can't do anything about it. We have the power of Jesus Christ on our side and the power of the Holy Ghost. What's the devil going to do? He can't argue with the word. Excuse me for my passion there. I get a little passionate. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, say together, and had all things in common. Oh, isn't that interesting? Imagine if we held everything in common. What could the Lord do? And sold their possessions and goods and divided them or parted them to all men as every man had need. You know, if someone had an extra house or an extra car, they would sell that, they would bring it to the apostles, and they would distribute to everyone that had need. Isn't that amazing? I don't know, you guys are all not into that, amen? Say, I'm a sharer. Did you know that you've got shares or stock in the kingdom of God? And your stock keeps increasing every day? Amen? You have ownership in heaven by birthright. Amen? And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily, say daily. How'd you like to have church 7 days a week? Amen? In one accord, say with one accord. In the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, that's worship, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So can you see the connection? There was a connection to what the people were doing to what the Lord could do. He added to them daily such as should be saved, because they created an atmosphere that the Lord could do that in, and one of the things that they did was fellowship. You know, the church is called the body of Christ, and everybody, we are all linked together to the same head, Jesus, amen? Does your elbow ever get tired of being with your arm? And does your elbow ever say, you know what, I don't like, and all of a sudden you got these sudden twitches, you know, and people say, what's going on? They say, well, my elbow just wants to do its own thing. Guess what? Your elbow can't do anything without the body. Your foot can't do anything without the body. If you hit your thumb with a hammer, it's going to affect your whole body, isn't it? Amen? So we are the body of Christ. We are also the family of God. We all have the same Father. And because God is our Father, each one of us are brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes people don't think of the church as the family of God, but we are a family. We do life together. We deal with issues. Amen? Just like in everybody's family, we all have faults. But you know what? When you're family, you choose to overlook faults, and you love them anyway. You know, one time I saw one of those nature programs, and there was this certain tree in Africa, and this fruit would ripen, and it would actually ferment. And once a year, this would take place, and the animals would come, and they would eat this fruit, and all of a sudden, they would get drunk. They would get intoxicated, and they had this I think it was a orangutan or a baboon or something, and he's coming, he's stumbling, and the narrator said he's got a face that only a mama could love. You know what? That's the thing about family. Your family knows you and they still love you. They put up with your stuff. Listen, I've got my own set of faults. And if you ask Fiona, she won't tell you what my faults are, because we never discuss our faults outside of each other. Amen? You should never do that. But anyway, so we're the family of God, but we're also the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, what? Don't you know that your body, say my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So each one of us are intertwined with the same substance called the Holy Spirit. We've got the same blood running through our spiritual veins, the blood of Jesus. Amen? Each one of us. Whether you like it or not, you're related to me, and I'm related to you. We're family. Amen? But I want to focus on one of the things that they did in the early church called fellowship. Amen? Did you know that God's promotion comes from your devotion? Whatever you're devoted to, when it relates to God, that's what He'll promote in your life. And the things that you're devoted to, God will promote. And so we need to be devoted. What does it mean to have fellowship? Because this was a key ingredient that created an atmosphere where God added to the church daily. Now, if God added to the church daily where fellowship took place, what happens where fellowship doesn't take place like it should? Can God add to that? No. We've got to increase our fellowship with one another. What does it mean? It comes from a Greek word called koinonia, and it means participation. It means partnership. I love this. It means social intercourse. I like that. Social intercourse, interaction with one another on a more than superficial level. You all are not too excited about this, are you? Well, I'm gonna teach on it anyway, because I'm excited about it. We need to hear it. It means to communicate. It means to come into communion. It means a sharer, an associate, and a companion. Now get this, this is what the Lord showed me. Fellowship is unselfish giving and sharing of your whole self with others. I'm going to say that to you again slowly. Fellowship is unselfish giving and sharing of your whole self with others. Well, I'm just not a social person. Let me pray for you and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost and you'll become a social person. It is a way to establish relationships. It is a way to utilize gifts and to serve others so God can bring increase and strength to his body. Was fellowship something that they did when the church began? And was fellowship an ingredient to where God added to the church daily? So then it's important for us today, amen? No man is an island to himself. I like to say it this way. When you go to the store, the grocery store, and you want a banana, how do bananas come? They come in a bunch, right? They come connected together. They're one unit, you know, and they're connected. Now, what happens to the first banana that leaves the bunch? It gets peeled. So what's the point? Stay connected with the bunch, and the devil won't peel you. Amen? Oh, Pastor, you're just monkeying around. Fellowship is an intimate association and a mutual sharing. The body of Christ should be a close-knit and loving community that is held together by their relationship with Jesus. We've got a bond that goes stronger. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. All right, we're just going to look at some things about fellowship. Because, let me tell you folks, we need to increase our fellowship. We should not be so quick to run away from gatherings. We ought to come to church and we ought to meet people. I mean, really get to know them. Know something about them that you didn't know before. How do you get to know people? Ask questions. Well, I'm just not much of a social butterfly. Just sit down then. Don't be in so hurry. Just listen to people. You imagine what you can learn by listening. Listen. We are a family, right? We are a body, right? We are a part of the temple of God, right? We are all held together by something that is greater. And it comes through Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 18 and 19, the Bible says this. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Or that's verse 18. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you, say two, agree as touching anything, that thing shall be done. How many does it take to get two? In order to get two, it takes more than you. Amen? So, well, I want to agree with my family. Guess what? You got a room full of family members right here. And in order for you to pray the prayer of agreement, it's going to have to take you in getting into fellowship, getting into agreement, maybe sharing something about something that's happening in your life. But I don't want people to know. Well, then you're limiting God from working in your life. The Bible talks about sharing your faults with one another and praying for one another that you might be healed. I said this in Guyana. How about if we advertise a meeting? Come to the fault-sharing meeting held at Victory Christian Fellowship. You know, I bet less people would come to that than any other meeting. I don't think we'd get a good attendance about that. Come and share your faults with one another. I ain't going to that place. But then you're limiting God. God is about relationship. It's about fellowship. It's about intertwining your life. You've got something that could help someone else. You've got something that could help someone else. And when you share that, that's when the help get, that's when the things get corrected and worked out. Amen? Fellowship. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Maybe that's 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. No? It says, this is from the New American Standard. It says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus. I don't think I have the right reference on that. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. I had the wrong reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. There we go. Yes. It says, I thank my God always on your behalf. Who's Paul praying for? He's praying for a church. I want you to see how he speaks about the church, about his fellow brothers and sisters. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Did you know that you are called into fellowship with his Son, and that everybody who names the name of Jesus, you are called into fellowship with them? Like them or love them, you need to fellowship with them. Amen. You need to do life deeply with them. Don't be so quick to leave a place where your brothers and sisters are. Take some time and get to know them. Get to learn from them. Get to receive from them. There needs to be an exchange taking place in the body of Christ. You know, we shouldn't be so busy. I mean, Martha, when Jesus came over to the house, she was busy cooking. She was busy setting the table. She was running around. But where was Mary? Mary was fellowshipping with Jesus. And Jesus said, she has chosen the better part, and what she has chosen will not be taken away from her. She chose the fellowship. She was building a relationship with Jesus. She was sitting at his feet, and she was learning. Something was being deposited in her through fellowship. Let me tell you something. Fellowship unlocks the riches of heaven. Because there's going to come a point in time when everyone at one time or another will need someone to lean on, someone to help you. Where are you going to turn? Where is a safe place that you can receive love and acceptance? It's right here in this gathering called the church. I don't care if you have blue hair, orange hair, pink hair, short, tall, wide, large, it doesn't matter. You'll find acceptance here because Jesus Christ reigns here. And he accepts you just the way you are. And if you can't find love and acceptance here, then you got a problem. Amen? Or maybe we got a problem. Listen, your church family is a safe place. And we need to increase our fellowship. They were devoted to fellowship. Fellowship was important in the early church, and it was one of the key ingredients that caused God to increase daily. We shouldn't be rushing here, rushing there, rushing everywhere. Listen, if you go through your life rushing, you're going to miss out on some of the things. The Bible says, wait upon the Lord and you shall renew your strength. Don't be in such a hurry. You know what? There was, when Moses, he set up a thing called the tabernacle outside the camp of Israel. The tabernacle means a place of meeting. And he would go there. And see, now Joshua, at that time, he was serving Moses. He was Moses' right-hand man. He would carry Moses' briefcase. He would make sure Moses had water when he entered the temple. He would make sure that he could take care of things. If there was a fight that Moses had to fight, Joshua said, I'll fight it for you. He was Moses' general. And while Moses would go into the place of meeting, there he would fellowship with God. You know where Joshua was? He was right outside the tabernacle. And then Moses would leave. He would be done communing with God. And you know what Joshua would do? He would linger. When Moses left, Joshua lingered. He stayed there in the presence of the Lord. He stayed there and listened to what God was speaking to him. And I'm convinced that it was that lingering, it was that fellowship that gave Joshua the equipment to lead the people in Moses' place. Sometimes, folks, we got to linger. We shouldn't be in too rush to leave the presence of the Lord because God may not be finished when the sermon is done. He might still be working. And we need to take some time and fellowship. It's important. Fellowship. Go with me to 1 John. 1 John. You doing all right today? You know, if we become better fellowshippers with one another, we're going to be better fellowshippers with God. Do you know how we fellowship with people is pretty much how we fellowship with God? You don't believe me? Well, let me read the scripture. All right? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard. How was it that they were able to see and hear? Huh? How can you see and hear something? You got to be close, right? You got to be involved. You got to be part of it. You got to be a partner. You got to be in communion in order to see and hear. Amen? That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. I want you to notice he's encouraging us to have fellowship, but he's got to declare some things that he saw and heard. Amen? He's transferring the story. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. How many know that fellowship can produce joy? It can add to your life. Fellowship will not take away from your life. It will add to your life. Amen? I want my life to be added to. And I'm going to be a better fellowship. I want to establish some relationships. I want to get to know some of my brothers and sisters. Amen? Maybe you need to have a brother and sister over your house for dinner. That's great. You know, when Fiona and I, we were in Tennessee, we made it a point when we were going to the Cleveland Christian Fellowship there in Tennessee, that when new visitors would come, we would introduce ourselves and we would invite them over to our house, didn't we? We had fellowship. And you know, we prayed for a house that we could entertain people, and God gave us a house that we could entertain people, amen? Hallelujah. But he was telling them so that they could have fellowship with us. You know, some of us have experiences in life that you can share with us that haven't had those experiences, and we could learn. We could grow. We could glean from your knowledge. We could glean from the things that you know. Amen. Some of you have gifts that we don't even know exist because you haven't shared it in fellowship. Oh, fellowship is rich. It's deep. People are looking for fellowship. They're looking for acceptance. You know, I told you the story about the Spanish guy who put an ad in the paper for his son Paco that ran away. And he said, Paco, meet me at this place at noon and all is forgiven, all is well. And 800 Pacos showed up. Tell me that the world is not looking for acceptance. They're not looking, they're looking for fellowship, but unfortunately, the devil is leading them to the wrong place. We should be experts at fellowship here in the church because we have the love of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the grace of God. We have the blood of Jesus that covers our sins. Hallelujah. We ought to be covering the sins of our brothers and sisters, not exposing them. That's all part of fellowship. I know every family has in-laws and outlaws, you know. So we have family members that we don't always get along with. But you know what? When you have the grace of God and the Word of God, it can help you develop that. Look at the lengths that Jesus went to have a relationship with you. He moved heaven and earth just so that he could have a relationship with you. You don't tell me that relationship is important. It is important. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Oh, I am so close to the Lord, but yet you're walking in darkness, you lie. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Well, look at verse 7. But if, say if, that means you got to make a decision to do it. It's not automatic. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with who? One with another. So part of a proof that you're walking in the light is your fellowship with one another. If you never have time to fellowship, I doubt if you're walking in the light. That's strong words. Yes, it is. I didn't say it. He did. It says, let me read that again. Did the Bible say this? If we walk in the light, we got any people walking in the light? All right. As he is in the light, that means like Jesus. We have, say we have, fellowship one with another. Now notice this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Woo! When you're in fellowship, let me tell you something. There is something that happens with the blood of Jesus. Your love gets on their love gets on your love, and I'll tell you what, you have a good time. But proof of you walking in the light is having fellowship one with another. And it doesn't, fellowship is not hard. Amen? Let me show you how easy it is. I got to pick on Mike because he's right here. How are you doing? My name is Doug. What's your name? Mike. So nice to meet you. Where are you from, Mike? Okay. Wow, awesome. Do you have a family? 4 children. Wow, that's awesome. What did I just do? I just had fellowship. Was that hard? No, it wasn't. And just as Jesus came out of heaven, let me tell you something. What was the world like when Jesus came? It was in darkness. Everybody, every man had turned their back on God. Man sinned, and sin separated man from God. There was broken fellowship. All about what Jesus Christ has done through the cross and through the resurrection was to restore fellowship with God first and then with man second. But our fellowship with God and our fellowship with man are connected. You can't have one without the other. You know, God doesn't call you to be a hermit and to live under a bridge by yourself. You know, this is my bridge, and if you try to come on my bridge, I'm going to get you. No, we're not called to be hermits. Hermits live in caves. We live in the light. We got to walk in the light. Well, I'm afraid of people knowing those things about me. I don't want them to know my past. Listen, your past isn't a problem anymore. Your past is in the past. You're not that person anymore. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We need to come out of our shells, and we need to start sharing our time with others. It's important. And for those of you that don't think it's important, you won't receive the benefit of what God wants to do through it. God's not going to make you fellowship. If God can make you do anything, he'd make everybody get saved, and we go into the millennium tomorrow. God can't even make anybody do anything. He gives you a choice. I have set before you life and death. Which one should I choose? I don't know, that life was the blessing or the curse. He said, now God says, I would that you choose life. Let me give you a little insight. I would that you choose life. Choose life. Let me give you the answer. I'm going to give you a test, but then I'm going to give you the answer. I like how God gives tests. I've set before you life and death. It's a multiple choice question. A or B. Which one should I choose? Choose A. Choose A. A is the right answer. Go with me to John 15. John 15. Listen, people ought to be talking about the fellowship that we have here at Victory Christian Fellowship. It's not only in our name, it should be our lifestyle. Amen? You're part of a fellowship. A brotherhood, amen? We're brothers, a sisterhood. We're sisters, amen? We're family. Every week it's a family reunion, amen? We ought to look forward to getting together with one another. We ought to enjoy one another's presence. I'm telling you what, we got the joy of the Lord on the inside of us, amen? You can get prayer for your hurts and wounds here. You can find healing here. You can find acceptance here, amen? You can get connected to heaven here, amen? We ought to have a good time. Listen, there is no party like a Holy Ghost party. Let me tell you something. God knows how to party. He's been planning a party for thousands and thousands of years. Anybody that plans a party that much in advance, he knows how to party. Jesus knows how to have a good time. Jesus would go over the houses of Pharisees. He would go over the houses of harlots, and he would hang out. He would have a meal with them. He changed the atmosphere through fellowship. Fellowship transformed lives. When the world would reject them, God would accept them. Amen? John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, what's going to happen? He's going to take it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Woo, I'm doing good, man. I'm fellowshipping, but now God wants to expand your fellowship. I don't want to expand my fellowship. Come on, I'm going to purge you so that you can produce more fruit. Get to know someone that you don't know. Take some time. Learn something about them. Share your gift with them. Amen? Encourage them. Welcome them. That's why we need greeters. We need people to feel welcome here. I want greeters at the door, and I want greeters at the fountain. They ought to be greeted twice or three times. And when you see someone that's never been here before, go up and introduce yourself to them. Make them feel welcome. Why? Because it's in that atmosphere that God causes the church to grow. He added to it daily. I'm telling you, fellowship, 3,120 people were fellowshipping. 3,000 people who the 120 maybe didn't even know. All of a sudden said, hi, I'm your brother. Where'd you come from? I just got saved yesterday. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the family. Fellowship. It needs to take place. We need to increase our fellowship. quite frankly, we can do better. Amen? We can do better. One of these days, I might just collect all the clocks as everybody comes in, you know. We'll have a no-clock service. Amen? Why? Because I want to enjoy my fellowship. They continued steadfastly. They went after it, brother. They pursued fellowship. Listen. Some of those people had to turn their backs on their family that were bound by Judaism. You know what happens when some people leave Judaism? Your family rejects you. You know, some things that happen in the Amish, when they get a hold of the truth, they get shunned. They get shunned. So you got these 3,000 people. Some of them were probably into Judaism. Some of them probably couldn't go back to their families because of the religion that they left, because now they're embracing Jesus as the way. And they set up a system where they were taking care of their own. And in Acts 6, they had to select people to wait on tables who were spirit-filled and full of wisdom and full of the word. They were taking care of their own. See, we need to take care of our own. When someone speaks against your brother or your sister, you need to rise up and silence them. You don't mess with my family. This is your family. Whether you believe it or not, this is just as much as your family as your natural family. And you might be saying, well, I'm a pretty young dad. Yes, I am. Okay, John 15, it's about producing fruit, right? Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't fellowship on your own. You need help. Amen, the Lord will help you. There's no more of a personable person than Jesus. He knows every hair on everybody's head, and he loves them anyway. Amen? He doesn't put any conditions on you for fellowship. He says, come just as you are. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, this is Revelation 3, 20. He said, if anyone comes in, or if anyone opens the door, I will come in. He says, I will sup with him. That means have a meal together. That means fellowship. But you know what? You notice he doesn't open the door. He doesn't knock the door down. He waits until you open the door. He waits until you take the first step. Sometimes you got to come out of your comfort zone and you got to do something you've never done in order to receive something you've never had. Maybe some of your family relationships have been messed up. Well, now is the time to get them right through fellowship. You haven't gone home on me, have you? Everybody awake? Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, Jesus himself had a group that he fellowshiped with, a group of 12 men that he chose. They were with him in the boat. They were with him when the crowds followed him. They were with him at Lazarus' tomb. They were with him at the woman at the well. They were with him when he slept. They were with him when he woke up. Some of them saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Some of them went to the garden. But Jesus never did anything without fellowship. Himself, Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. The disciples had some faults. Peter had fits of anger. He had a bad temper. You know, and he would act out, he would speak out without thinking, but Jesus loved him anyway. He still fellowshiped with him. Jesus had a treasurer who was stealing money, and he still fellowshiped with him. Finally, after giving Judas grace, he looked at him and said, what you do, do quickly. He had run out of his grace because Judas refused to change. But Jesus still let him be treasurer. Jesus still hung around him. Jesus still fellowshiped with him. Judas was with him when the lady came and poured oil on him. And he said, this should have been given to the poor. And he only said that because he was stealing money. You don't think Jesus knew that he was stealing money? My gosh, Jesus knew it, people's hearts. He could answer your thoughts. Don't tell me that Jesus didn't know. But you know what? Jesus makes allowances. Guess what? Hey, when you're going to fellowship, you're going to have to make some allowances for people. unless you are perfect, and no one is. I'm not perfect. So don't expect me to be perfect. I'm not going to expect you to be perfect, but hey, let's hang out together and have a good time. Amen? Let's fellowship. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. He's like the banana that gets peeled. He gets separated from the bunch. If you refuse to fellowship, if you never have time to fellowship, eventually you're the one that's going to lose out. He is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You know, if you don't fellowship, you're going to dry up. That went over real big. Amen. People are looking at me like, oh my gosh. Listen, to abide in Christ, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, he said you have fellowship one with another. So you cannot abide in Christ without fellowshipping with others. Amen? Besides, that's the only way we can tell if you're a mature Christian is how you treat others. How much time do you invest in others? Little time means you're not mature. Well, that went over big too. Woo! Man, I'm taking on a tough crowd here. Amen. You need to get happy. Let me tell you something. Fellowship produces joy. See, I knew that the Lord led me to talk about this today. I can sense some of that resistance. I ain't fellowshipping with no one. I don't care what he says. I'm digging my foot in the ground. Well, then you can be a stick in the mud then. You know, every once in a while, I need something loosed in me. I get a little bit uptight every once in a while. I don't know if anybody suffers from that, but I do. I get uptight on some things every once in a while. But you know what? If you're not abiding in Christ, you're going to be cast out. I didn't say that. Jesus did. This is in red. This is Jesus talking. Verse 7. Now he gives you the good news. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Go with me to Mark chapter 11. I want to touch on something here. Mark chapter 11. Didn't plan on going here, but here we are. Look at verse 22. It says, and Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. He said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. Whoo, I can have what I say. Great. Yeah. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now look at verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. Say forgive. Who you have to forgive? If you have aught against who? Any. I'm glad he didn't say many. Because he said, I don't have that much aught against many. But he said, if you have aught against any. If there's a relationship that you have, and that relationship is not right, it's going to affect your faith in a negative way. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, notice what it says. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. So if there's a schism in the body, if there's a body member that's dislocated, how many has ever had something on their body dislocated? It's painful. It's out of place. it doesn't work right, and you got to put it back in its right place. And sometimes putting it back in its place is painful too, because you know when your shoulder gets out of separated, you got to bang it to put it back. But that putting back is necessary for the function of the body. If that part doesn't get put back in the right place, the whole body will be affected. If you have aught against any, your faith will be hindered. So we better get our relationships right. We better get our fellowship right. Verse 26, he says, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." If you're unforgiving towards people, the Father will be unforgiving towards you. Will he answer prayers for unforgiving people? That might be the thing that's hindering your prayers, because you're unforgiving. You're withholding forgiveness from someone, and the Father has forgiven you freely. So then we in turn must take his forgiveness that we have and give it to someone else. Family member, brothers and sisters, we need to walk in love with one another. That's part of fellowship. It's part of abiding in the vine. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done." When there's abiding, when there's fellowship, prayers, you're seeing answers to prayers. You can ask whatever you will and it shall be done. Don't tell me that fellowship isn't powerful. It is powerful. It's what Jesus came to do. So we have to abide in him. Amen? Go with me to Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament right before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, I thought this was very interesting. Look at verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to" who? "To one another." Are you speaking often to one another? Do you have some brothers and sisters that you can confide in? You're speaking often to one another. Notice what happens here. "They spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." See, when you're communicating with your brothers and sisters, you're thinking about his name, and the Lord takes notice of that. He says, "That's my boy, that's my girl, enter into fellowship." You know who prevents you from fellowship is Satan, because he tries to divide. If he can divide, if he can separate you, he'll conquer you. He's always out to divide things. Jesus told the people when it comes to marriage, "Let no man put asunder what God put together." Who is the one who's messing with marriages today? It's Satan. He gets in there and he tries to put a wedge in between the husband and the wife, and he tries to get them on one side or on the other. He tries to divide them so that they don't be one, so that their kingdom can fall. But God is a uniter. Go with me to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. But isn't that interesting how God takes notice when you speak to one another often? He writes it in a book of remembrance. Let me tell you something, folks. Your words are powerful, and God's listening to what you say. So is the devil. So what you say matters. Amen? Psalm 133. I'm in the home stretch. I'm getting ready to close. Amen? You've been a tough group today. You don't know about this thing. Look at Psalm 133. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell" where? "Together in unity." How good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Are you brethren, sister, brother, family? Yeah. Relative? Yeah. How pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. We've got the same cause. We've got the same focus. We're in agreement. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together unless they be in agreement?" But God is pleased when his family comes together. God is pleased when we're on the same page. God is pleased when the strong are helping the weak, when the ones who are up are helping those who are down, when the ones who are victory are helping the ones who are fallen. We can't continue to kill our fallen. We do that in the body of Christ a lot. When one member falls, we want to kick them when they're down. But how Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. It affects the whole body. Unity or disunity will affect the whole body. If you don't believe me, let me take your finger and pull it really hard and see if it doesn't affect your body. It will. And it runs down the whole body as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There is a blessing on fellowship. I just want to come together because you name the name of Jesus. There's a blessing on that. There's a blessing on fellowship. So when the service is ended, you know, I understand if you got other obligations, but you know what? I want to encourage you to take some extra time today and fellowship and enter into that richness, into that blessedness, and watch what the Lord does with that. Begin to establish relationships. After all, the very ones in this room might be the ones that need to help you when you need help. Who are you going to call? Devil busters. Amen? I'm a devil buster. I got some devil busters with me. Are we a room full of devil busters? Amen? You can call on me. Jesus said he was a brother born for adversity. David etched out a relationship with Jonathan. And you know what? Jonathan's father, Saul, wanted to kill David, his employee. David would be at work. He'd be typing a memo, and all of a sudden Saul would chuck a spear at his head. And finally David realized, listen, I can't work in this environment anymore. You know, David took all the classes on how to deal with stress and dealing with people, and you know, he still had this boss that wanted to kill him. Amen. You think your boss is bad? Until he chucks a spear at your head, you're okay. But Jonathan, who was Saul's son, had entered into fellowship with David. And Jonathan protected David from his father because their souls, the Bible says, their souls were knit together. Jonathan and David, Joshua and Moses, Snoopy and Charlie. Amen. Let me tell you something. We are missing out on the richness of true fellowship, communion, partnership, association. And go with me to Philippians, the book of Philippians. You know, Jesus prayed that we would be one just like he and the Father are one. Philippians. Let's go to chapter 1 and look at what he says here about the church at Philippi. Verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, being confident or for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Listen, fellowship is not a one-time thing. We ought to be continuing to do fellowship. Amen. Being confident of this very thing, he that which began a good work in you will perform it. Jesus is the performer of the work inside of us until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. You want to partake of someone's grace? You know, if you see someone that's blessed, I'd make friends with them because their blessing will get on you. Amen? Say, woo, Brother Mike. Say, praise the Lord for your blessing, man. How are you doing, man? I'm so glad that the Lord blessed you. But if you want his blessing to get on you, you got to enter into fellowship. 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 Amen. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm going to close. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels or compassion and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. It was they were in one accord and one mind in Acts when they began the church. And that's when God added to them daily. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Strife will bring division. Promoting yourself will bring division. Okay? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Don't we confess that in our confession? We prefer others before ourselves? It's time that we make that a reality and walk it out. Look not every man, verse 4, on his own things, but of every man also on the things of others. Did you know that you are your brother's keeper? You know, when God came to Cain and he said, "Where is your brother?" And Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" He had just killed him. You talk about ending fellowship. You know, how about your brother killing your brother? "Oh, I don't know where my brother is." "Yes, you do. He's another liar, pants on fire." But do you see how once you begin separating from God through fellowship, it's a downward spiral. And the devil will push you over the edge to pick up momentum. But God told Cain, he said, your brother's blood speaks to me. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Did Jesus ever put himself first? No. Did Jesus fellowship with people? Yes. Let this mind be in you that was in him. You need to think like Jesus. You need to act like Jesus. If you're missing it in the fellowship department, you can improve. It's just making a minor adjustment right now in your heart and in your mind, and just say, I'm gonna meet someone today. I'm gonna get to know someone today. I'm gonna take a little bit of time with people. You know what? We should not let the world squeeze you into its mold. The world is busy, busy, busy. Going. Instant pudding, microwave, fast food. We're so accustomed to rush here, rush there, rush here, when we need to take time with one another every once in a while. You need to take time throughout your day and consider someone else. You need to take time and pray for your brother and sister. You need to take time in fellowship. Call them on the telephone. Give them a message of encouragement or whatever. And let the Lord use you. Let the Lord speak through you. But we need fellowship. There are people who are hurting, but they're by themselves, and they don't feel like they have anyone to talk to. But you've got a family to come to. You've got a brother and sister. Share your heart. Pour your heart out. Get it out of your system. Don't let the devil use it as a tool against you. Let me tell you, there have people that have been part of this church that broke their fellowship because they took offense. For one reason or another. I don't know why everybody leaves. They don't often give me the time to tell me when they leave this church. And believe me, I try to find out what the reasons are, but I don't always know. They don't always tell me. They just allow the broken fellowship to take place, whether it's an offense, whether it's a hurt, whether it's a wound. They give the devil the advantage, and he then separates them from the life of God. Listen, when Jesus told his disciples, "You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood," every disciple left him, so much so that he turned to his own disciples and he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" So many people left from following Jesus with that statement that he turned to his closest ones. He said, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter said, "Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." Listen, the devil is, He will fight your fellowship. He doesn't want you sharing your life, because that might mean you might get the help that you need. If fellowship wasn't so precious to the Lord, the devil wouldn't fight it so much. But yet, he always tries to put divisions in us. Verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. You know what Jesus said? Who's going to be the first in his kingdom? Those who serve the most. The biggest servants are going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus himself, in John chapter, I think it's 13, he girded up a towel around him and he began to wash the disciples' feet. He took of himself no reputation. He took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. God so wanted fellowship that he put on flesh and became a man just so that he could have fellowship. Think about that. God put on flesh so that he could spend time with you, so that he could get to know you. Is it too much for us to do the same with others? So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we've heard your word, Father, on fellowship. And, Lord, I pray healing over every... I want everybody to stand up with me. Stand up with me. You know what? Maybe you've been hurt by people. Join the club. You're in good standing, man. Jesus was hurt by people. We've all been hurt by people. But it's time to put the hurts under the blood of Jesus. It's time to let the oil and the wine touch those wounds and heal them. Amen? Yeah, you've been hurt in relationships. You've been hurt by different things. But there's healing at the cross. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's a restoration of fellowship. Sweet fellowship. Sweet sharing. Sweet partnership. Precious into the Lord God. It is precious. So much so that he gave his life. He believed in fellowship so much that he gave us his very best. He gave us his all so that we could have it. So Father, today, I thank you, Lord, that you heal those with broken hearts, Father, through fellowship that have gone wrong, through fellowship that was abused and misused, Father. Lord, for those abusing words, for those negative words that were spoken over people, Father, I break that in the name of Jesus. I break the curse, the generational curse that prevents you from reaching out to others, from extending the right hand of fellowship in the name of Jesus. Lord, I break that right now. And I declare, Father, that we are a people who love one another. We are a people who prefer others before ourselves. We are servants, Father. We take on no reputation. We give ourselves over to you in the name of Jesus. I want you to say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I ask you to heal my broken heart, to mend every wound, to give me the oil of joy for mourning. Though I've sown in tears, I'll reap in joy. But today, I will be a fellowshipper, a sharer, a partner with my brothers, with my sisters, with all the family of God. I will let the love of God, which is shed abroad in my heart, affect them. Father, forgive everyone who's ever hurt me or let me down. I release them. I put them under the blood. And so, Father, I receive from you your forgiveness, your life, your grace on me in Jesus' name. Amen. You ought to shout hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. And we ought to see an increase of fellowship.